This is Audible.
Audible Inc. presents The Divine Comedy, written by Dante Alighieri and translated by Clive James. Narrated by Eduardo Ballerini. Book 1. Hell. Canto 1. At the midpoint of the path through life, I found myself lost in a wood so dark the way ahead was blotted out. The keening sound I still make shows how hard it is to say, how harsh and bitter that place felt to me. Merely to think of it renews the fear, so bad that death by only a degree could possibly be worse. As you shall hear, it led to good things, too, eventually. But there and then I saw no sign of those. And can't say even now how I had come to be there, stunned and following my nose away from the straight path. And then, still numb from pressure on the heart, still in a daze, I stumbled on the threshold of a hill where trees no longer grew. Lifting my gaze, I saw its shoulders edged with overspill from our sure guide the sun, whose soothing rays at least a little melted what that night of dread had done to harden my heart's lake. And like someone who crawls, half dead with fright, out of the sea and breathes, and turns to take a long look at the water, so my soul, still thinking of escape from the dark wood I had escaped, looked back to see it whole. The force field no one ever has withstood and stayed alive. I rested for a while, and then resumed along the empty slope my journey, in the standard crofter's style, weight on the lower foot. Harder to cope when things got steeper, and a mountain cat, with party-colored pelt, light on its feet, in a trice was in my face and stayed like that, barring my way, encouraging retreat. Three beasts, was this the leopard lechery, were said to block the penitential climb for sinners and for all society, and here was one sticking to me like lime. Not only did it hamper me, it made me think of turning back. Now was the time morning begins. The sun, fully displayed at last, began its climb, but not alone. The stars composing Aries, sign of spring, were with it now, nor left it on its own when the first love made every lovely thing the world can boast. A thought to give me heart, that I might counter in this gentle hour of a sweet season the obstructive art, pretty to see but frightful in its power, of that cat with the colored coat. But wait. If fear had waned, still there was fear enough to bring on pride, the lion in full spate. Head high, hot breath to make the air look rough, as rocks in summer seemed to agitate the atmosphere above them without cease, so rabid was its hunger. On its heels the wolf appeared, whose name is Avarice. Made thin by a cupidity that steals insatiably out of its own increase, obtained from many people it made poor. This one propelled such terror from its face into my mind, all thoughts I had before of ever rising to a state of grace were crushed. And so, as one who, mad for gain, must find one day that all he gains is lost in a flood of tears, a conscience racked with pain, just so I felt my hopes came at the cost of being forced by this unresting beast, little by little down towards that wood, whose gloom the sun can never in the least irradiate. But all at once there stood before me one who somehow seemed struck dumb by the weight of a long silence. "Pity me, and try to tell me in what form you come," I cried. "Is it a shade or man I see?" And he replied, "No, not a man, not now. I was once, though, a Lombard. Parents born in Mantua, both born there." That was how his words emerged, as if with slow care torn, like pages of a book soaked shut by time from his clogged throat. "Caesar was getting on when I was young. That's Julius. A crime, his death. Then, after he was gone, I lived in Rome. The good Augustus reigned. The gods were cheats and liars. As for me, I was a poet." He grew less constrained in speech, as if trade talk brought fluency. I sang about Anchises' son, the just Aeneas, pious, peerless. When proud Troy was burned to ashes, ashes turned to dust, which he shook off his feet, that marvelous boy. He did what any decent hero must, set sail. But you turned back. Tell me why. Why not press on to the delightful peak? The root cause of all joy is in the sky. Almost too shocked and overawed to speak, for now the one who fought for words was I asked him, just as if I didn't know, Are you Virgil? Are you the spring, the well, the fountain, and the river in full flow of eloquence that sings like a seashell, remembering the sea and the rainbow? Of all who fashion verse, the leading light, the man of honor, what am I to say? Through learning you by heart, I learned to write. My love for your book turned my night to day. You are my master author. Only you could teach me the sweet style that they call mine. I could go on. But what am I to do about this animal that shows no sign of letting me proceed? It scares me so. My veins are empty, all the blood sucked back into the heart. There's nothing you don't know, my sage, so tell me how this mad attack can be called off. Then he, You need to choose another route. This while he watched me weep. This way there's no way out, you're bound to lose. Bound by the spell of this beast pledged to keep you crying, you or anyone who tries to get by. In a bad mood it can kill, and it's never in a good mood. See those eyes? So great a hunger nothing can fulfill. It eats, it wants more, like the many men infected by its bite. Its catalogue of victories will be finished only when another dog arrives, the hunting dog. The Veltro. As for now, it's hard to see even his outline through the glowing fog of the future, but be assured by me, the Veltro will make this thing die of shame for wanting to eat wealth and real estate. The Veltro's diet will be bigger game. Love, wisdom, virtue. It will operate in humble country, eat the humble bread of that sad Italy, where Trojans fought our local tribes, the Latium beachhead. The brave Princess Camilla there was brought to death in battle, and Prince Turnus too, killed by Aeneas, of whose Trojan friends Euryalus and Nisus died. The new great dog will harry this one to the ends of that scorched earth, and so back down to hell, from which, by envious Lucifer, it was first sent forth. But by now I've pondered well the path adapted best to serve your cause, so let me be your guide. I'll take you through the timeless breaker's yard, where you will hear the death cries of the damned who die anew each day, though dead already in the year. No dated stones remain to give a clue. The earliest sinners died when time began. And you'll see in the next eternal zone those so content with purging fire they fan the flames around them, thankful to atone, hopeful of being raised to join the blessed. If you would join them too, we'll reach a stage when only someone else shows you the rest. Someone more worthy, though of tender age, beside me. I can't tell you her name yet, but what I can say is, the Emperor, who reigns on high, vows he will never let a non-believer, though I lived before belief was possible, see where he sits in judgment and in joy with the elect. Sad and afraid, but gathering my wits. Poet, I said, I ask you to effect, in the name of that God you will never see, an exit for me from this place of grief, and then an entry to where I would be, beyond the purging flames of which you tell, in sight of Peter's gate, though that relief demands for prelude that I go through hell. And then he moved, and then I moved as well.